But you know, I want us to all remember, let's get up and praise him. You get punched. Everybody gets punched. I've talked about this last couple weeks, talked to several people throughout the week. And people forget, whether you're Christian or not, bad stuff happens in your life. We all get flat tires. Quit blaming it on somebody else. So you picked up a nail. You know how many nails I've picked up over the years? And I'll tell you, if you're on the highway, just a little bit of advice. If you're ever on the highway and you have a screw in your tire or nail and it's not flat, don't pull it out. I did that at 3 o'clock in the morning one time. My spare was flat and there was not one gas station open. I didn't get home until the sun was coming up. And that was just from Columbus. So let's remember to praise him. Sometimes we do our own stupid stuff. Amen. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you are a good God, you are a loving God, Father, and that you have made a way through Jesus Christ for us to call you Father. And now, Lord, we honor you, not only as Father, but as our God, as our loving, benevolent God who gave of himself so that the relationship might be restored. I thank you and praise you, Lord, for all these people today. I bless them, Lord. I bless each and every hour that is represented here in their tithes and offerings. I bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the junior church is dismissed. I didn't have any announcements today. Okay. Genesis knows, right? Yeah. All right. I'm a little warm up here. You got to give it to the praise team. They hang up here even when it's 20 degrees hotter than it is down there. God. Well, I'll tell you, you know, we can look at all the things in a negative light. We can always do it. Everything, we'll find negative in everything. You know, like the rain the other day. I'm not for certain how many inches we got. All I know is the three culverts and the bridge that were in front of our house within that 100 yards were covered. And not only that was that covered, but 2 days before I had just graded my driveway nice and smooth and nothing was packed in yet. And all that glorious rain, I now have the Grand Canyon down my driveway again. So guess who gets to go back? However, the blessing side of it, Jesse and I are working on a job, drilling holes for fence posts. And we got 2 inches into the ground, and that ground is so hard and been compacted to make the lot that we just polished the clay. It was shiny. You could look at it. It was nice and shiny. And the first set of holes, we had to pour water in and leave it for hours before we could even get deep enough to put fence posts in. This way, praise God, I don't believe we're going to have to wait hours. We'll be able to dig. So, you know, we can keep looking at all the negative in life and never enjoy this life. God is impressing more and more upon me that if we don't enjoy things, you know, going back to the parable of the prodigal son, there was something that the father told the other son. You remember the prodigal came home and he said, "You killed the fatted calf for him and you've never even killed a goat for me." And he said, looked at him and he said, "I've always had this for you. You just never took advantage of it." And it's not only that has been making me think and been changing some things, but God's really been stirring on me. You know, I've been in a lot of places, been in a lot of churches, and I'm sure some of you have too, that they focus on self-denial, which they're, don't get crazy on me. I'm not saying Christian life should be La Vida Loca. We live crazy. But I was raised, you don't get to enjoy things. If you get something, you get rid of it to give it to the poor. And here's something Jesus said about that. You'll always have the poor. It's not that we stop giving to help the poor out. But be honest with you, if I'm in a situation where I'm poor, the best thing you can do to help me is help me up. Help me out of my situation. Teach me about finances. Teach me how to do a new trade. Teach me something that I can do. That is where our welfare system fails. We've created a system where people have no more pride of life, pride for life. They no longer want to work. Why? And I'll be honest with you, why? Why should they want to work? But the truth of the matter is, you can't have that kind of system going. I realize that the early church tried it, we all remember, and they had all things in common. You know what that actually is, right? Communism. They all had things in common. The rich sold everything they had and dispersed it. But here's the problem. The poor never learned how to handle money. They remained poor because they just went out and got rid of it. The rich went back out and reinvested it. Whether you like President Trump or not, the man has gone bankrupt more times than I can count right now. I know it's several. But you know what he did? He took what he had and reinvested it and came back. As a matter of fact, I heard him say one time, somebody asked him, he said, what would you do if you lost everything? And he said, the first thing I'd do is scrape up everything I could get hold of and go buy a nice suit, and I'd go hang out with the men who know how to make money. But that's not what we do. Because poverty is control. Here's what you got to understand. If you can keep people poor in here and financially, you can control them. But if you teach people to start enjoying life, helping those. See, those are just basic, in my opinion, tendencies we should all have as human beings for our fellow brother, whether you're saved or not. Because I'll be honest with you, I've met some really bad scoundrels that claim to be Christians. I about said Cretans, but, and they might be. But you've got people who don't claim Christ, and yet their actions reflect what Christ taught. That's a whole nother subject for another day, because that's change in the heart that never took place. But what we want to do is we don't want to enjoy anything. And then we got the other ditch where, okay, well, we're Christians, but we're going to enjoy everything. It's like, hello, come back to the middle of the road and drive in the lane that God prepared. You can enjoy good food, but don't eat a lot of it. Right? We know this. I love good steak. My favorite is a ribeye. But I can't eat a ribeye every day or every week. They've already given me medicine to help take care of that cholesterol. I don't need to double that. There's a balance. And the way I was raised was you give up your entire life. You don't enjoy, don't worry about getting involved in anything because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, I do believe. If it's my lifetime, praise God, I get to see it. And if it's not, praise God, I get to come back with him. If you're reading the scripture properly, it says he comes back with 10,000s of his saints. So, one way or the other, it's a blessing. But here's the problem. We're living to be 80, 90 years old now and being taught not to enjoy all this old world. I hate this old world. Seriously. You know what's wrong with it? People like that. People who, I just hate this place. Well, leave. If you hate this country, leave. I've been to several other countries. This is the greatest one on the planet. It's amazing to me people that go overseas and think they've got rights as an American in a foreign country. I want to laugh at them. The first thing they taught me when I got to Japan was, you do not have American citizen rights here. You walk the line. Because if you end up in their prison, there's nothing we can do for you. Proved last week. So, let's jump off real quick here on Matthew chapter 26. Yeah. And you know what? I do praise God that she's... Oh, there it is. So much light coming through that window. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." I want to point out something here, folks. What is this we're seeing in Peter? Some will say loyalty, dedication. I see pride. I see pride in Peter rising up. Even though all these other Cretans, Lord, they'll fall, but I won't. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Here's the problem with what they all said. They wanted to die right then that night. Exactly what would have happened to the gospel of Jesus Christ if they had all been killed that night? Everybody else had left him. All those other disciples, they fled. And these 12 held on. And Peter, everybody looked up to Peter. It's believed he was probably the oldest. Said, "Oh, these guys, they're young. They don't know dedication. I know dedication. I would die for you, Lord." Now, that's great sentiment, isn't it? We'd all love to say we'd die for Jesus, isn't it? It's easy. I can stand right here in the United States of America, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and I can say I would die for Jesus. But what are you going to do when you're no longer in the United States of America, where you no longer have those rights, and where people want to kill you just because you're an American? And they've got a gun to your head and they say, "Deny Jesus." Then what do you do? I heard a preacher say one time, it's easy to give up and die for Jesus. He never asked us one time to die. I want to point that out. He never asked you to lay down your life and die for him. He don't need you dead. He's not got an army of zombies. He came and John 10:10 said, he said, "The thief comes to take your life. I've come to give you life and to give you life abundantly." But that's not what the church has taught. Many years the church taught actually that the people had to be poor and the church had to be rich. Which is wrong. I pointed out something to somebody the other day. We was talking about, you know, we're doing work over here, which, by the way, we got the lights fixed. Woo-hoo, thank God for electricians that know what they're doing. But I said, you know, I said, I know many preachers over the years that, I mean, I've been doing this stuff since I was 10. That's 37 years that I've been building churches. And I said, you know, a lot of them have said, "Oh, look, just get the guys in the church." And I pointed out to this person, I said, you know, those people, this was in the 80s, I said, those people, they may have had 20 guys in the church and 15 of them were laid off. They didn't have jobs. I said, I personally would rather have all my men and women who want to work, working. And we'll figure the rest of it out. Because if you prosper, this church prospers. And that's the way it goes. And we just do things as we can. I'm not worried about it. If I got to get down on my face every day and beg God for money to do it, then evidently I don't understand my Father. I've already put in my request. Now it's just waiting for the time for it to manifest. But Jesus never asked us to die for him. He didn't say, Tristan, I want you to go and crucify yourself on the courthouse steps tomorrow and die for me. To prove a point. To be a martyr for me. Exactly how is that glorifying God, for starters? You know, we just sang that song, Get Up. And when I was sitting there, I have not told her any of this, any about this message at all. And when I saw that coming across, I thought, that is it. With every breath, I will praise him. Every breath, I'm going to live for him. Everything I do, I'm going to live. Whether I'm fishing, whether I'm working, whether I'm watching the Indians play, whatever your hobby is, whatever it is you like to do, wherever you're at, you glorify God. But we're taught that you've got to be obnoxious, you've got to be rude. I'm getting so sick of rude Christians. Until you want to know who I am, don't talk to me. I prefer to try to get to know people. I want to know a little bit about you. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes I've told you for 15 years, 16 years, I sometimes ride a short train and I fall off the caboose. So I've missed the train a couple times and just watched it go away because I lost that train of thought. But we are not required to stop living. At no point did he say, stop living. You're not allowed to go fishing anymore. You're not allowed to go hunting anymore. You're not allowed to ride motorcycles anymore. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. Now, we all come to the conclusion in Revelation afterwards, as Paul said, all things are legal for me. Not all things are beneficial for me. Some of the stupid things I used to do are definitely no longer beneficial. And as I was explaining to the guy the other day, I said, you know, the older I get, the more I realize the things I did 20 years ago are not beneficial to my body today. It don't bounce. There comes a point, tiggers quit bouncing. And I'm not for certain what time in life that is, but your body, you got to make adjustments. And you got to tell your mind, that's one thing my mom told me years ago. She said, in your mind, you will always be 18. Right? Invincible. Taking on the world. You're ready for everything. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not 18 anymore. This whole body's taking a few bumps and bruises, and it's a little harder to get up. But you don't lay there and die. And so I'm trying. You can ask them, I'm trying to break out of the mentality that I've got to be working all the time, that I've got to be doing something all the time that represents godliness. You know, sometimes just sitting on the park bench. You know, yesterday, the boys and I, we went to Columbus and looked at motorcycles and four-wheelers, and we went to the Habitat store down in Columbus, and we went in there, and this is the one, I'll be honest with you, this is one where I prefer to carry my gun in with me because this is the bad section, and they put gang members in there to work off their community service. And I've seen their buddies come in, and it's like, okay, yeah, you got to rent a cop up there who's got a billy club. Exactly what's he going to do? These guys are bad news. But I like this one. They have the most stuff, and I like to snoop. I love old houses. I'm not afraid of attics and crawl spaces. But we walked in there, and there's this, I don't even know how old he was, a young man. He's bound to a wheelchair, and I'd say he's got cerebral palsy. And he's wearing a Kokosing hard hat, and nodded at him when I went in, said hi, and went on back. And by the time I'd made my loop all over this store, came back around, and I was wearing a Marine Corps t-shirt. And he says, Semper Fi, which is a common reply amongst Marines. And, you know, and I knew he had never been in. And he starts to tell me a bunch of stuff. And then he says, I'm an honorary Marine. Now, you can ask Kyle. There's no such thing as an honorary Marine in reality. It's a title that has to be earned. It's never given. I can't give it to anybody. If any of my sons ever choose to become one, they got to earn it. They don't get through on my coattails. But I stood there and listened to him, and he was talking. And he was so proud of that. And the Holy Spirit just said, shut up. Let him enjoy this. And I actually got more enjoyment out of talking to him about that. And we didn't talk long. I did find out his dad was an engineer for Kokosing, retired. And I told him, I said, well, I live right down the road from Kokosing. And it's just things like that. I could have let him saying that. And I've had other guys tell me, oh, I'm honorary Marine. No, you're not. Nothing personal, Army guys, but then they were Army. Oh, we're honorary Marines. No, you're not. But this guy, God told me to let him enjoy it. It wasn't hurting a thing. But yet, we as the church, we want to take all enjoyment out of people. Make sure that you don't have any makeup on, ladies. You can't wear any jewelry, you Jezebels. I've heard that thrown around in a church more times than not. And to be honest with you, they don't have a clue what a Jezebel truly is because they are controlled by somebody. I see so much non-enjoyment in people's lives. When you start talking the gospel, they get serious. There's no life. There's no joy to their salvation because they no longer know how to live this life. Steve Taylor put it this way in a song one time, all Christians start dying the day they're born again. We die. The problem is we're required to die, right? We are. To ourself. Our will. There's a song I love. It's called My Will Be a Dead Man. Now, if you didn't like the last praise song, you would not like this song. So don't go. But the point of it was, my will, Lord, not your will. My will be the dead man. That's how I got to die. I don't have to die by going over to Jerusalem on a Holy Land tour and being killed. Be honest with you, until I hear all safe, I'm not leaving. Or unless God tells me to go. That's all there is to this. I've had opportunities and invites to go to the Congo and those parts of Africa where there's warlords, and there's a check in my spirit that says, you're not to go. And pardon me, I know why. That's not my call. My call is here, is to be here for these people, for you, and people in this community. Thanks to our ad in the paper, even the Amish know who I am, which is kind of funny sometimes. They know my name, but I cannot for the life of me remember theirs. I know it's either Yoder, Miller, or Schwarzentruber. Or Wingard. But Jesus did not ask Peter to die, did he? He had just told him, let's jump over to John real quick before I get ahead of myself. Yeah, I lost my notes. John 13:36-38. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Again, he's telling him, I will die for you. The life Jesus wanted him to lay down wasn't to turn his back on his children. It is believed Peter had children, at least a daughter, because the Catholic Church worships her. We know he had a wife because he had a mother-in-law, right? So he had a family. Jesus did not tell him to forsake his family. That does not make him like God. Because God told us, I will neither leave you nor forsake you. Now, when Jesus taught on things like celibacy and such of that, he was teaching that it was better if you're going to be in ministry, that you don't have a wife and family, because it is very difficult, especially in that time. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Again, Jesus, this is a recollection. Jesus telling him, you're going to deny me. And why? Just because somebody said, didn't you follow me? Didn't you follow me? Didn't we see you with Jesus? We know you're a Galilean. You smell like a fish. You dress like Galileans. And you speak like a Galilean. It's not real hard to find people that haven't been across the river for a very long time, right? I'm from across the river. Moved out in 72. So there's really not a whole lot of accent unless I go back across the river for 6 hours. And then I fit right back in. But it's not hard to tell the people from even southern Ohio. They have a draw. And deeper south you go, and I can actually tell because thankfully to the Marine Corps, having men in my unit men and women, who were from different parts of the country. I could tell you what state they were from by the dialect, just how they spoke. I could tell you Georgia over Tennessee and South Carolina. They all have their own dialect. And you have to actually listen to pick up on it. North Carolina, they got their own words. You got to pay attention to things, figure this stuff out. And that's how they figured out Peter was a Galilean. He used certain words. He spoke a certain way, certain mannerisms. Californians, they were a whole nother, them and Texans. Texans, we never, it was just hard. They kind of blended with the Okies there. So again, Jesus is telling you will lay your life down. Eventually, he told him, he said, there's going to be somebody going to carry you where you do not want to go. We do now know that Peter was crucified upside down as a mockery to Christianity. But that only occurred when his race was run. We are in a totally different time, folks. There may come a time in this country where we are threatened. I thank God that at least the brake pedal's being touched right now. Because before, the accelerator was being touched to push us away from God. But at least now we've got a foot on the brake pedal to stop this thing. God doesn't need you dead. He needs you alive and well. I get no glory out of my children living in poverty. I get no glory out of my children begging for scraps. That does not bring me any glory whatsoever. So why would we think that God's children begging for scraps and being in poverty bring him glory? And giving everything we had to people who just are thieves. And now, Jesus said a thief does, comes to steal, kill, destroy, comes to rob you. He's stealing from you. Quit letting the devil tell you that, you're not enjoying life, Listen, if God tells you to cut out cheesecake, okay? That's just all there is. If God tells you, if I tell you to cut out cheesecake, take it to God and say, God, should I listen? And if he says no, then eat your cheesecake with guilt, without guilt. Paul preached and preached and preached on this stuff. Now, I'm not saying you go out and get drunk and be stupid. Come on, I'm telling you, that's why I stay away from it. Legally, you can. Should you? No. I've heard people talk about, well, you know, because I pointed out and said, you know, so many things have happened because people got drunk. One person pointed, well, I got kids. What did that say about the other person that you had to get drunk enough to do that? Let's be real. But God can use those kids still. Okay? Don't ever think, like I said, I'm standing up here. I'm from one of the most controversial relationships ever. But God can use me, and he does. He can use us all. But I want you to understand today, God didn't put you here in the middle of this world. Listen, we have a beautiful, beautiful world. How many of you have ever traveled outside of the United States? Okay, there's a few of us. How many of you saw all the trash outside the United States? Now, how many of you saw the beauty? There's glory. Okinawa's kind of one of those weird places. You got to look for it. But it was there. The coral reefs. Oh, but Pastor, I don't like to swim. You don't have to know how to swim to scuba. You got to relearn how to breathe. And see God's glory that he created. Swim with a lionfish and a coral snake. Not coral, but a ribbon snake. That's those sea snakes. One of the top deadly snakes in the world. Live a little. They can't bother you. Don't worry. It's kind of like the thing where everybody says, you know, the granddaddy long legs is the most venomous spider in the world. It'll kill you. Well, he's still alive and he ate one on purpose. Yeah, I just threw you under the bus, buddy. There's so much we're afraid of because of what somebody said. Somebody starts a rumor about it. Oh, this new trend. Listen, there's a lot of stupid new trends. You know, and one of them is this. One of these days, I might clothesline somebody walking down the sidewalk doing that. How many of you seen the video of the woman that fell in the elevator shaft? Yeah, that was real. That was a security camera. She was too busy and fell in. Put the thing in your pocket and enjoy the people around you. There's some funny people. Seriously, there's people out there doing stupid stuff. I got one boy that was doing stupid stuff down 71 yesterday. Hard hat, glasses, and an inspector's tablet. Pretending he's writing down information about their cars as we drive by. He got waved at twice by two girls. A couple other people thought he was crazy, namely the two people in the truck with him. But you know what he showed me? He's never going to see those people again. And he had a good time. He didn't hurt anybody, wasn't hurting anything. He just enjoyed life. Enjoy what God has given us around. If you don't want to travel out of the country, great. I encourage you to travel out of state. You know, it's only been pretty much in our generation that's everybody in here that people have gone out of state regularly. And it's really not that far today. 4 hours of driving in the state of Ohio and you can be out of the state no matter which way you go from here. You can be way up into Michigan, way down into West Virginia, Kentucky, PA, Indiana. You can be anywhere. Well, there's nothing good looking. Open your eyes. Enjoy. God put you here. 1 Timothy 6, 17 said, God has given us all things to enjoy. Enjoy your car. You want a nice car? Buy a nice car and enjoy it. Don't sit there and worry about what everybody thinks. I had pastors in North Carolina. They were business people before they were pastors. They had several businesses. They had rentals. The unfortunate one of their businesses before was drug dealing. They got saved and God delivered them of all that. Maybe not of all the people in their life because they were always on the lookout. But God had blessed them. And our pastor's wife drove a Lexus. She said, this is the best riding car I've ever had. And she said, I've had Mercedes and BMWs. This car is the best. People started talking about her driving that Lexus. And she sold it. You know what? You're not going to talk her out of it now. She grew up. She got over worrying about what people think. You want a big house? If you can take care of it, live in it. Remember, you got to take care of it. You want a jacked up truck? My boys keep trying to get me to jack mine up. I'm like, you see how long my legs are? I'm already having to grab the steering wheel and pull myself in. My message today, folks, is learn to live. Because I promise you, when you're living, you're out and about with other people. And when you're out there, then you can actually be a help to them. You're not going to be a help to them if all you ever do is hide yourself away at your little cave. See, that's the way I was taught as a young Christian. You need to just give all your spare time here. See, I was on my way to the World's Fair. 1982. World's Fair. Had tickets, everything. My dad worked for Kokosing. Kokosing paid for everybody to go. And I was going to ride with my grandparents were on the bus too, so mom and dad didn't want to go. I was going to go. Share their hotel. And the pastor told my parents I didn't need to go. It wasn't God's will. Because he wanted to control people. Listen, I want you to enjoy life. That's why God's... And some of the mentalities I've had is because of garbage like that. I was 11. And now I'm telling you, you can enjoy life. But don't put that enjoyment in front of God. Because then that becomes your God. And God's not keen on having other gods in front of him. Did you ever notice he said that? Thou shalt not have other gods before me. Because he knew you would have them. Well, Pastor, I don't have any other gods. Oh, yes, we do. We all do. Whether it's NRA, NBA, NFL, CNN, whatever it is, things that you enjoy are your gods. Maybe it's retail therapy. I don't know. I know a lot of people with that one. Sometimes it turns out a blessing to us. Somebody, you go to a garage sale and, honey, look, it's still got the tags. Yeah, more than likely what it was is they bought it, wore it to their special event, and lost the receipt. And they couldn't return it. No, I don't know. But God has given us this world to enjoy, folks. Enjoy. There's joy in it. One of my favorite things is to... You can find peace and contentment in about anything if you look for the beauty in it. The other day, during that rain, like I said, my pond area filled up and it still got water, so it really... put it down. Water's running across this area that I just graded. with topsoil that was dug out of the ditches, and it's now cutting a new river and creating a waterfall. And it's a muddy mess over here. I mean, and I just stood over there, leaned up against a cottonwood, and listened. And I couldn't have told you that I wasn't in a trout stream in the mountains of Georgia. Water just bubbling over top of all the garbage I had just piled into that hole the day before. Concrete. You couldn't have told me. God's teaching me to learn to enjoy my life. Enjoy the people I'm around. No matter if they do rub me the wrong way. Find something in them. That's a hard one, isn't it? It's for all of us. There's always somebody that's going to rub you the wrong way. You can find something. Always find something. Because let me remind you that when the disciples came back to Jesus and they were saying, Jesus, even the devils listen to us and they have to do what we say. He said, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, for I saw my enemy fall. You know what that tells me? Jesus and Lucifer had a relationship as far as a bond. They had a bond. And that's why he could only call him. That's why he said, don't rejoice in that. One, it stirs up pride. But two, we can no longer look for the good in people. Look in the good in your situation. Well, there's nothing good about my situation. Then change your situation. Don't like your job, get off your butt and go find one. F-I-N-D. Sometimes you got to look. Not every job just comes and lands in your lap, does it? Sometimes I just happen to overhear somebody talking about, oh, hey, they're hiring over here. God gave you this life to enjoy. Enjoy it. And I said all that, and I want to say this. I realize, folks, if we're going to be honest about church, the Sabbath was built for us. We celebrate Sunday as our Sabbath. We come together because of love. But I had gotten, because of those early teachings in my life, so afraid that before I was a pastor, and even some time, it's only been recent years that we've been able to take vacation through a Sunday. I lived in guilt. Can't tell you how many fishing trips. You know, things that I'll never do again. I say deep sea fishing. Things like that. They were once in a lifetime opportunities. Don't live in guilt, but don't let the things become your God. You want to go to see the Browns play? Go see the Browns play. I can tell you how it's going to end. And then after this, I may not have a congregation next week. Huh? She knows who I'd be rooting for. No. Listen, if people can't take a good ribbing at sports, you got a problem. Pastor Bob can't. He cannot talk to people in his congregation because he's got people that can't do it. He roots for the Buckeyes. He's in Michigan. You see the problem? He is a Buckeye. He's from Ohio, but he's just across the state line, and he's up there, and he's rooting for the Buckeyes, and he started saying, people in his church get upset. I mean, they were ready to quit. I'm like, grow up. It's a game. If we can't set the, listen, everybody in here represents a different school district. I don't even root for the team I came from, because my sons always were playing against them, so I was rooting for my sons, which was against our enemy. So it's all a game. But I root for you to live. Enjoy what's out there. You know, don't be afraid of spending a little bit of gas, even today, and take a drive. It's going to be a beautiful day. Put your windows down. Go to a lake. Go to a state park. I'm sure the water's down up at Mohican now. Drive around. If you got a motorcycle, get out for a ride. If you got a boat, take me. No. I sold my boat. But anyhow, when Jesus told us that when the Bible tells us we're going to lay down our lives, it's not quit living and focus entirely on the gospel, because you'll never do anything. You know, we've got, four school teachers. Just quit teaching and you guys just focus on the gospel. They can focus more on reaching people and hurting kids easier there, because the kids won't come to the church. But they have to go to school. So they can see, they may not be able to say anything. And I understand that. But ultimately, if they see with their spiritual eyes, they can pray. Did you ever notice the Bible doesn't say, if my people who are called by my name will go out and evangelize and beat people over the heads with their Bibles and call them everything under the sun. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and pray, then will I hear from heaven. Not start a church softball league. I'd love to have had that, but I got to be honest, I am way too competitive. You know, there's a country song that talks about the preacher breaking up a fight. Well, I'm so competitive, I would be in the fight. So I don't do that. I know myself. You can look and say, you're not a godly man. I judge myself and I know where I've got to stay away. Or I will seriously hurt myself too, to win. But don't let people tell you, you can't wear slacks to church. I'm going to be honest with you right now, I wish I was wearing shorts, because it is really warm up here. I always tell people I wear a t-shirt to absorb the sweat. That's because it's adding more. All right, let's stand. The only person you have to answer to is God. He's the one going to judge you. If you got questions, that's my job to help you. Maybe give you direction. It's not my job to tell you, yes, you should do this, or no, you shouldn't, unless God has spoken to me. Other than that, you got the same Holy Spirit I got, right? I didn't know that there was a different Holy Spirit. And by the way, that Holy Spirit speaks to sinners too. I know that was a teaching I heard years ago. God doesn't speak to non-believers. Then how did he draw us? We're drawn to repentance by the Holy Spirit. So just some of the crazy teachings that people did to control. You don't need any more. Does anybody else need somebody else controlling your life? Okay. I live by the adage, it's hard enough controlling mine, I don't want to control yours. Just all there is to that. I want you to live and be a godly representation of who he is. I want to pray for Joe here. He asked me for prayer. If anybody else would like some prayer for healing, come on up. I'm going to pray for you, but because that's what the Bible says to do, is it not? It says, call for the elders of the church, have them lay hands on the sick. These two guys, they're sick. Oh, good. And if you don't know me, if I quit picking on you, I don't like you anymore. Oh, hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I speak to this arm. I command it to be healed, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. You're touching this. That whatever this mass is, Father, that it's going to dissipate and be gone. Lord, we will find that it was nothing more than an allergic reaction to a shot. Thank you and praise you, Lord God, that there's nothing wrong, nothing missing, nothing broken. And I thank you for Joe's faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord God, I speak right now to this digestive tract, and I speak life and health right now, Lord God. I pray that you begin to straighten things. You begin to open things, Lord God, that have been blocked. Father, in Jesus' name, I curse anything that may be causing him difficulties and problems. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you, Father, that he is healed and he is whole. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.
For me, I'm bobbing my toes in the morning.
I know it's simple prayers, but I don't know anything other than simple. You know, kind of the keep it simple, stupid. I'm stupid. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for a glorious day. Lord, I thank you. Lord, that your love is so boundless, Father, that we have no fathoming of how great your love is for us. Lord, I pray now that you help us all to walk in that realm and to see and experience your love and to experience your freedom, Father, as you have declared. If we are made free by the Son, then we are free indeed. We are no longer a slave to anybody. We're no longer a slave to sin, to religion. We are free from all of that. I thank you and praise you now, Lord God, for each and every person here. Lord, I pray that as they go this week on their way, Lord, that you open their eyes for opportunities for them to pray, opportunities for them to maybe even speak into somebody's life. Lord, I thank you that as they go about this week, Lord, they will be blessed. The businesses they frequent will be blessed. Father, people that they are with will be blessed. I thank you and praise you, Lord God, that you're opening opportunities for them. In Jesus' name, amen.